Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. Coming to you today from Mumias, Kenya, out here in West Kenya. We're going to be talking about prayer today, and we're going to be in the second session of our look at prayer. Last week we talked about pray believing from Mark chapter 11. Pray believing as if you've already received, how that can change your attitude in prayer. Just believe that you've already received. Start thanking the Lord even before you see your change, even before you see anything happening. We don't walk by sight, we walk by faith. And so when you walk by faith, you can start thanking the Lord even for things that you have not seen yet. And so that is one of the keys to prayer. A second key we find in 1 John chapter 3, verse 21, 1 John 3, 21, and we come to the Lord with a clear conscience, with a clean conscience. And when we do that, when we come to the Lord with a clean conscience, then we can be assured, we can have confidence, we can come boldly before the throne of grace, before our Lord Jesus Christ, and know that He hears our prayer and that He responds to our prayer, that He loves us, He cares about us, He cares about the situations in our life, the dilemmas, the problems, the heartache, the pain, the brokenness. He cares about all of that. And so in 1 John 3, John takes this up. He says, "Beloved, if our heart does not condemn us, we have confidence towards God." Or in other words, if our heart does not consider us guilty, then we have confidence toward God, and whatever we ask, we receive from Him because we keep His commandments and do those things that are pleasing in His sight. Well, Jesus said, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments." Beloved, that is a true statement, and it is very true. I think we can all attest to that in our own life when we really get serious about serving the Lord, when we really get serious about knowing Jesus and knowing Jehovah God, serious about them being our Lord and our Savior. We want to keep their commandments. We want to keep the Lord's commandments. We want to have a clean conscience before Him. And we want to know when we stand before Him that we are not condemned, that we are trusting that He loves us, that He cares about us. Hebrews 11:6 says, "For without faith it is impossible to please God. For those that come to Him must know that He is, and He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him." And so we come to Jesus, we come to the Lord God, knowing that they are who they say they are. We know this not only by reading our Bibles, but also from experience. The more you pray, the more you walk with the Lord, the more you serve Him, the more you keep His commandments, it becomes a progressive thing in your life then. You start to believe more, your faith gets stronger, you have a greater strength to stand up against the attacks of the enemy, against the temptations from the enemy, and so you can stand before God with a clear conscience and know that His promises are yes and amen. And you can stand before God and you can know that whatever you ask of Him, if it is in His will that you would do this or that you would receive this or that you would ask for this, if it is within His will for the kingdom of God here on this earth, that you can ask with boldness and confidence and it will be given to you, and that you can do the things that are pleasing in His sight. You have strength then to do the things that are pleasing in His sight, and that in turn then gives you more confidence, more boldness, and gives you the ability to stand before Him with a clean conscience. And all of those things that have beset you and been a roadblock and a hindrance to you, those things can be then left behind. You will never get to a point where you're not going to be tempted, but you can get to a point where those temptations don't take you down, that you don't keep running back to the same sin, you don't keep running back to the same people who drag you into sin. Just today out at the Living Water Farm, I talked to a brother who has had an alcohol problem. He's been running with the boys out there and drinking. He has a wife and a couple of children, and he needs to be home taking care of responsibilities with them. He disappears for sometimes days at a time. But he has recently come to the Lord Jesus. He has recently come to a place of acknowledging Jesus in his life. And I told him today, you have to leave those friends behind that want to take you back to the drinking. You have to turn the leaf and pursue a new life. Your friends have to be the strong brothers in the church who will lift you up, who will raise you up and strengthen you in your walk, so that you don't have to be tempted every time the drinking brothers go by. You don't have to be tempted about, well, what am I going to do today? You know, what decision am I going to make? You can be strong and you can stand before the Lord because you keep his commandments, you have a clean conscience, and you do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And when you do that, beloved, God will bless you. He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. He is a rewarder of those who keep his commandments. Jesus said, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. And so a sign of people who love Jesus, that is a true sign. What is the fruit in their life? What does the fruit in their life look like? What does the fruit in your life look like? If you really love Jesus, if you say you're a Christian and you wear that cross around your neck, that necklace with the cross on it, you wear that around your neck and you claim to be a Christian, do you really keep his commandments? Do you really work to keep his commandments? Are you diligent in studying your Bible? Are you diligent in prayer? Are you diligent in being in the fellowship? Or you claim that you are a Christian and think that that's going to somehow scare the devil off and scare him away from your life? No, that isn't enough. You have to discipline yourself, and you have to pray with diligence. You have to pray with perseverance. We'll talk about that here in just a minute. And you have to pray and believe that if you keep his commandments, you live a life of holiness and you keep his commandments, that you do those things that are pleasing in his sight, then he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Well, Matthew 17, verse 20, the disciples had come to Jesus and they're presenting a man with his young son, and the young boy is having seizures. He's throwing himself into the fire. And so these disciples came to Jesus and says, why could we not cast this demon out? Why could we not help this boy and throw this demon out of him so that he would be free of this demonic torment in his life? And Jesus said in Matthew 17, 20, for assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Well, this is like the scripture that we looked at last week. It's another one of those mountain moving scriptures. And again, Jesus isn't telling you to go pray against the Rocky Mountains so that they can have wheat farms out there west of Denver. That's not what he's saying. He's saying these obstacles, these difficult situations, these things in your life, these circumstances in your life, it may be a person, it may be a situation such as an addiction, alcohol or drugs, or sexual perversion. It may be a situation where at your workplace where you're being tormented by a coworker or your boss or somebody. This is a mountain in your life. It looks like it's an insurmountable mountain. You can't go around it. You can't go over it. You can't go under it. And so Jesus says, if you pray against this mountain and you believe with the faith of a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. Well, beloved, when you see some impossible situations, what you consider to be impossible, when you see those situations start to move out of your life, when you pray and ask God to help you see that situation move out of your life, when you ask God to help you get over this addiction, get over this perversion, get over this pornography, whatever it is that is besetting you and holding you back, when you pray and you see God start to move in your life, you will start to understand there is nothing impossible for you because you are operating with the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, the one who created you, the one who created the universe. You're operating with his power. It is not your power. It is not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. And when you align yourself with the Lord and you align yourself with his power, then you will see impossible things start to become possible in your life. Well, this scripture closes up Matthew 17, verse 21. And Jesus adds something additional here besides just diligence in prayer and faithfulness in prayer. He says, however, this kind, that is this kind of demon, this kind of demonic torment, does not go out except by prayer and fasting. So what he's saying is there's sometimes difficult situations in our life, especially torment from the devil, a demonic oppression. We know that we have some kind of dark oppression or even generation curses handed down to us. We see the same repeating patterns in our lives that we've seen in our parents and our brothers and our sisters. So we know there's a demonic pattern. We know there's familiar spirits. And Jesus is saying to the disciples and to us, it's not enough just to have routine prayer. It's not enough just business as usual prayer. He's saying this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, beloved, fasting along with prayer intensifies the prayer. It takes you into that spirit realm, into a higher place, into a more intense place. It's not arm twisting or trying to manipulate God. It's just saying, God, I'm going to give up something that is very precious, something that is very special to me, something I love to do, which is to partake and indulge in food. Every person on the face of the earth loves to eat. If they are of sound mind and sound body, they love to eat. And so when you set aside a time to pray, and when you set aside a time to say, Lord, this is so important to me, I'm going to set aside something that is very, very important to me, and that is food and indulgence with friends in partaking of, and I'm going to fast, and I'm going to put this situation before you, God. I'm going to put this mountain in front of you, God, and I'm going to expect you to move in it, because I believe when you say this kind goes out by prayer and fasting, I believe that what you say is true, and I'm going to put you to the test and see if this kind will not go out by prayer and fasting. And beloved, if you do that, God is faithful and true. He loves to see us commit ourselves. He loves to see us dedicate ourselves to even greater pursuit of the kingdom. I've fasted a lot, as most of you probably know, and looking at me, you can tell I've fasted a great deal. I don't have much of a commitment to indulgence in food. I eat to keep myself alive, but I don't eat for pleasure. I don't just sit around and eat a lot when I'm not very hungry. And so maybe that's a good thing for some people in America as well. They would be in much better health. Their shape, their condition would be much better. They would make a lot less trips to the doctor. They would have to rely a lot less on medicine, on surgeries, and all those medical rescue treatments if they just prayed and fast, asked the Lord to break off that spirit of gluttony, asked the Lord to break off a spirit of addiction, whatever addictions are pursuing them and have attached to them and are oppressing them. And so prayer and fasting is a powerful tool to break the chains of the enemy off of our life. And I'm not going to spend a whole lot of time on teaching on fasting today, but let me just say this. If you're interested in fasting, which I believe every Christian should be, because Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount, and when you fast, not if you fast, but when you fast, Jesus said, then he gave instruction on fasting. And so you can look at that in the Sermon on the Mount. Matthew chapter 6 is all about prayer and fasting. And so Jesus gave us the model prayer in Matthew chapter 6, and he also talked about fasting. And also Isaiah 58 is the most comprehensive teaching in the whole Bible, actually, on prayer and fasting. And so if you look at Isaiah 58, and you can see what an important weapon fasting is when it's coupled with prayer, what an important weapon it is for tearing down strongholds, for breaking the chains of oppression and demonic entry off of our life. And so prayer and fasting, then Jesus said, this kind goes out only by prayer and fasting. And if you will try that, if you will pray and you will fast, if you've never fasted before, just set aside maybe one meal to start with, or maybe if you have some kind of medical condition and you maybe are uncertain, if you can fast, just set aside one meal, and then you can go on to one day, maybe 3 days, you can go on from there, 5 days, 7 days, pick the kind of fast you want. There's a Daniel fast, there's a total fast with just water, there's an Esther fast, no food nor water. And so there's many ways that you can fast and intensify and make that prayer even stronger and more powerful in removing mountains from your life. Well, third, I'm going to talk about persistence in prayer. We need to pray and be persistent, have a regular, steady time of prayer, a regular time when you are off by yourself. Get away from the computer, get away from the cell phone, get away from the television, get away from the children, get away by yourself, even if just for 15 minutes, and pray every day and ask the Lord to strengthen you in your walk. The Lord talks about this in Luke chapter 18, verse 2, and he gives a parable here. And he says in verse 2, always pray and not lose heart, saying, there was a certain city, a judge, who did not fear God or regard, that is to say, he did not respect man. He did not fear God nor respect man. Now there was a widow in that city, and she came to him saying, get justice for me from my adversary. Well, isn't that like us whenever somebody offends us? Whenever we have problems in our life, whenever we have sickness or somebody has stolen something from us or we're somehow offended and hurt, that's when we pray. When we have pain and things aren't going well in our life, that's when we pray. And so she said, get justice for me from my adversary. But the judge, he would not for a while, but afterward he said within himself, though I do not fear God, nor do I regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her. In other words, I will give her justice, lest by her continual coming she wearies me. Hear what the unjust judge said. Verse 7, shall God not avenge his own elect, who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? Verse 8, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Well, I'm going to answer that question. I certainly hope when the Son of Man comes that he will find faith on the earth. I hope he finds it in me. I hope he finds it in you. I hope he finds it in people here in the United States of America, that we have a remnant here of not just a remnant, but a multitude of praying people, a multitude of praying churches, a multitude of praying believers who are steadfast in their belief that prayer changes things. Beloved, we are in a situation in America and also a situation here in Kenya. It's not a whole lot different here. The cultural aspects of the needs here are different somewhat. The cultural aspects are a whole different scenario than what you see in America, but the desperation and the brokenness, the pain of the people is the same here as it is in America. And so God is saying here through this parable that if you are persistent in prayer, if you stay and you keep praying, even when you don't see your change, and maybe that means all night prayer meetings. We have those here in Kenya. We had one in our church just about 3 weeks ago, an all night Keisha, and it was very, very powerful. I've done this many times in Africa. We start at 8 or 9 p.m. on Friday night, go all night and pray till 4 o'clock in the morning, and then finish up till 5 a.m. with some tea and mandazi. But we pray and we cry out and we praise the Lord and we thank the Lord and we cry out for mercy. We cry out for grace We cry out and we shed tears. And beloved, maybe that's what we need to start doing in America, because America is very close to civil war, I believe, and also very close to a war from its enemies from without. And yet we see America crumbling very quickly from within. There's immorality, sexual perversion, all kinds of gender confusion. There's still abortion raging in America, and there's still all kinds of perversion in marriage in America. And so we need to cry out, and we need to pray. We need to be persistent in asking the Lord, Lord, we cry out to you. Lord, we ask you, change this situation in America. Change what we know is not right. Change the political scene in America. Change the education scene in America. We cry out and we are persistent. Verse 7 again, and shall God not avenge his own elect who cry out day and night to him, though he bears long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Well, beloved, we pray that the Lord will avenge our enemies speedily. I thank the Lord for some of the things that I see happening in America. I see a youth movement of people, of young people in America, that is very sold out, very committed. There are some people in America that cry out to the Lord day and night. There are some people that are fasting and praying. I'm thinking specifically of the International House of Prayer in Kansas City that has had nonstop prayer day and night for 20 years now. 20 years. They just celebrated their 20th year anniversary. And beloved, this is the kind of prayer we need. Nonstop day and night prayer. Prayer that breaks the back of the enemy. Prayer that changes things. Prayer that is powerful prayer that causes the Lord to send his angels to battle our enemies. And when we cry out to the Lord day and night, the Lord says that he will avenge our enemies, and even so speedily. Well, I'm going to close with the scripture here of the Apostle Paul speaking to the Thessalonican church, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and 3 verses I'm going to close with here, because they have to do with prayer and they're very important for us. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 16, Paul says, rejoice always. Verse 17, pray without ceasing. And verse 18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. And so if we pray without ceasing, if we give thanks, if we rejoice always, we will always be thanking the Lord, even in difficult circumstances, even in times when we lose loved ones, even in times when people betray us, even in times when we can't see anything good happening in our life. Rejoice always, because, beloved, the Lord orchestrates the circumstances in our life to bring us closer to him, that we would give glory and honor to him, that we would seek him, and we would not rest on our own laurels, that we would not think that it is because of our greatness or our righteousness or our superior intellect or attitude. That is what is making our life great. We come to depend on the Lord. We rejoice always in everything that is going on in our life, and we thank the Lord. Even when we don't see our change coming, we thank him. We give praise, we give honor to him, and we pray without ceasing. And that persistence, and that we pray with perseverance, with persistence, that persistence then causes the Lord to take note of our life, to take note of our prayer, and to avenge our enemies speedily, and to grant us the petitions that we ask of him. Well, beloved, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. I thank the Lord for the support and the prayers of all those who have supported us over the years. But we have many projects going. We have many things yet to do. And there are many lost here in Africa that need to hear the gospel. There are unreached peoples here in Africa that need to hear the gospel. And so we look forward to reaching them. We're planning a crusade here in Mumias Town here within the year, within about 6 weeks. We're planning a big crusade here in Mumias Town. And so I pray that you would come alongside this ministry, support us, pray with us. and sit down and write us a letter. Let us know you're listening. Include a check to help support this ministry, and you will be blessed. We will be blessed, and the kingdom of God will move forward. Stay tuned for contact information. Thank you for listening today. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.